Let's get started on Christmas matters.
It does.
It matters. Luke chapter 10 in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into whose house?" Martha had Jesus in her house. One, that's awesome. And two, that what does that tell us? It tells us a couple things. One, Martha had a big enough house to house all the disciples. She had a big enough house to have all the disciples in it and to hold parties. Now, when we do our research on Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, we find out that they were extremely wealthy people. They actually are believed to be the largest supporters of Jesus' ministry. As monthly givers, they were the top. They had money. And so they were supporting Jesus. Her house was big enough to throw parties and hold Jesus in it. Now let's continue. Verse 38. "And she had a sister named Mary," and we know how sisters can be. They love each other, but they also get on each other's nerves. But you let someone else talk about them, you won't find their bodies. Right? And so their interaction, I'm sure, is pretty awesome. All right. "And so they sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word." Verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" Okay. Verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, I just want to point out something. Every year when people preach on Mary and Martha, Martha gets the shaft. Martha did more right than wrong. Martha opened up her home. How many people won't even open up their home to anyone, period? Church people, don't matter. Friend, don't matter. You ain't coming over to my house. Martha opened up her house. Martha did a lot more right than she did wrong. But what I want to point out, if one thing you take home, I want you to take this home. Never allow what matters most to be held hostage to the things that matter the least. Never allow what matters the most to be taken hostage to the things that matter the least. It's so interesting how something so small, insignificant, can hold hostage our happiness and our joy. You know, I tell this story. I was hanging out with a good friend of mine, and one thing went wrong. I got chewed out about one thing. Somebody called me and chewed me out about one thing. And the rest of my day was great all the way. And it was right at the end of the day. Everything was great till that phone call. Everything was great. And so I already had me and a friend. We were going to hang out. And we were going to grill, barbecue. And we were going to eat. And we were going to watch some stupid sci-fi movie. Can't even remember what it was. And so we were just going to hang out. And that day, we're sitting on the back porch. And we're talking. And I'm telling him, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And I'm rehearsing everything that went wrong in that phone call. And this person was in ministry. They understood. And so I'm laying in my case. Why everything just went somewhere in a handbasket really quickly. And then at the end of my conversation, now we're drinking root beer. At the end of my conversation, he just looks at me, holds the bottle, takes a sip. He says, "Is that all that happened?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good day then." And it hit me. I mean, like, how can one thing, one phone call, everything that went right, hold me hostage? Right. My joy, my happiness, me moving forward, me, you know, replaying something over and over and over in my mind, trying to tell me how I was right and that they were wrong. One incident, all my joy, right out the window. Because one thing that did not even matter in the long run of everything, and who speaks into my life, everything that's going on, this one thing, this one complaint, this one problem took hostage everything else that mattered the most. Now, that's one story, but we can look at everything this season. All the commercials, everything that tells us what we must have to have a great Christmas, what we must have, what the kids need, what our spouses need, all this telling us what it looks like. Don't allow a Christmas present to hold you hostage for 5, 6, 9, 12 more months because you put it on credit. Don't allow something that matters so minimal. Because most kids open it up, they play with the wrapping more than they do the toy. Don't allow a present to hold you hostage. And don't allow getting presents for people that don't even like you. And you don't even like them. I didn't say you don't love them. I'm just saying you don't like them. And you try to get something that so impresses them. And you're still paying on it 5 months later. Do not allow something so trivial to hold you hostage for a long time. Because 15 to 23% interest or 23% interest, that is, No, thank you. All right, sorry. Got off there just for a moment. But don't allow what matters most or matters least to hold you hostage. Keep what matters most before you. This needs to be our motto, not only in the Christmas season and this Advent season, but we need this to be our motto every day of the year. Amen. Now, Martha opened her home. Martha gave everybody a place to sit. Martha, you know, everything was going right. Everything was doing right. But see, Martha got so focused on how her house looked, on what guests would think, that the fact that the guests were done and the table before them, maybe the, let's take these plates, let's serve. And then Jesus began to speak. There came a moment, and she didn't focus on the moment. She allowed the work to take priority. And whether the dishes were clean that day or the next day, it didn't matter when it came to the fact that there was a moment that she needed to be a part of. In our lives, and especially this time, there's going to be moments that we need to be there. We need to be present, not on a phone. I love my phone. I love my technology. But there comes a point that we're going to need to be present. We're going to need to be there at that moment and not to let our focus get off on something, whether it's a text message, a meme, or whether it's a game we're playing, to get focused on something that matters the least when something that matters the most is happening right before us. So we need to focus on moments, and that was where Mary missed it. Because ministry is work. Ministry is serving others. That's exactly what ministry is. But there comes a moment where we need to be present in that moment. And things can wait. Now, I do want you to know this. If you leave this place and you say, if all you get out of this is, there's stuff I need to leave alone. When I go to work, and my boss all of a sudden is, restock the shelves, do this, flip that burger, whatever it is you do. Be like, let me tell you something, Mr. Boss Man. I'm going to focus on what matters the most, not what matters the least. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to focus on what matters the most, and you matter the least. What is that? Boss Man gets a dollar, I get 10 cents. Never mind, I can't finish that. But anyway. So in that, we're not taking away that at work we need to slack off. That's not what we're taking away from here. And I'm going to tell you something. There are times if you are Mary and you allow everybody this Advent season, this Christmas season to do all the work and all you do is take. And then at the end of the party, you get a plate for you, your spouse, and your five children. and you didn't wash any dishes?
Come on.
Some Marys are going to have to step it up, and some Marthas are going to have to pay attention to the moments.
No, that's right.
If you go and your mother does all the majority of the cooking, or you go to a loved one's house and they do the majority of the cooking, and you're not at least taking out trash, cleaning, washing dishes, you're going to need to Martha it up a little bit. And if you are so busy, Marthas, if you are so busy paying attention to everything else that you don't sit down and enjoy time with the family, that all you do is work. And see, the problem is both these personalities get something out of it. And what I mean by it's a part of who they are, their makeup. The Martha takes pleasure in being a workaholic, getting the job done, everything being perfect, not a light out. Everything's lined up. Everything is perfect. Everybody got what they wanted to eat. Everybody is satisfied. Martha takes pleasure out of that because it's part of who she is. But when you put in what you are and it ain't Jesus, when other people don't measure up to your level, you get mad at them for things you should never be mad at them for. They don't work as hard as I do. They come over. Mary comes to my house all the time. And normally she's pretty good. But then Jesus comes in. And she's going to sit down there when I got all these dishes to wash. All of a sudden, Mary's not measuring up to who Martha is. I'm going to tell you something. No one's going to measure up to your personal standards all the time. So start focusing on people.
That's right.
And what people need from you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to come a moment that you need to be in the moment. And Marys, look around and see how you can help Martha out. But also, don't miss the moment.
That's right.
Both of us need to, no matter who you associate with, need to keep our focus on God, family, and loving one another. And how about this? If you are Mary, or Martha, or anybody else in between, stop telling Jesus what to do with them.
Come on.
Don't fall into the trap. You can't change Mary, and you can't change Martha. You can't change them on your own. You can tell them something, and they may even agree with you. You'd be like, Martha, you need to sit down and relax. Let the dishes soak. Jesus isn't even going in the kitchen. Calm it down. Let the dishes soak. And Mary may say, you know what? You're right. Put some Dawn in there, some hot water. Let them soak. It'll be easier to clean. All is well. Mary may agree with you, or Martha may agree with you, but guess what Martha's going to probably do the next time there's dirty dishes to be cleaned? She's going to jump up and clean the dirty dishes.
Yes.
So she may even know and recognize, and you may even know that. You may say, what is Mary doing? I've already told her last year she needs to take a break. Well, maybe she's not taking a break because you ain't helping, but number two, you can't change Mary. Dear Heavenly Father, in messages, never be the spouse, unless you're just being funny, and that's your relationship. But never be the spouse that is serious when I say something that you nudge over and say, you hear that? You hear that? Pastor is speaking to you. Pastor is telling you what to do. Like, I told you you need to change. I told you you need to change. How about this? Listen for what God is speaking for you and allow somebody else to hear what God is speaking to them. And if your focus is on them changing so it's easier in your own life, your motive is completely wrong. If you're, dear God, please touch Jesse so that my life is better. All right. Jesse prays, dear God, tell him to shut up. Take out the trash and leave me alone. so that it's better with her life. How about this? God, bless Jessie. And whatever she needs in her life, I can't even tell you everything. I may have some hints, but I don't know everything you need to do for her. But open the eyes of her understanding. Let her see clearly. Let her be rooted and grounded in love. Bless her, Father. What happens when your prayer has really nothing to do about your own benefit and everything to do with theirs? All of a sudden, your motives change. And then you can begin to see the person for who God created them to be and not what you desire them to be.
Amen.
So we're telling Jesus what to do. But we're telling Him not because we care so much about their benefit, but we care about ours. And our prayer needs to be unselfish. Because the love of God is not selfish. The love of God cares for individuals because they are an individual. They're unique and they're who God created them to be. I never want a church where everybody imitates the leader's look, style, the way they talk, the way they act, the way they worship. I gotta tell you, you know, I've been a part, went to school, certain ministries, and it's crazy. Kenneth Hagin, his ministry, when the anointing would fall, you would see a lot of people just kind of bent over like this. And it was because that's the way Dead Hagin looked when the anointing would come on him. And then our World Outreach Church, Pastor Mark Brzee, all of a sudden the anointing would fall and you would see his leadership, thumbs up, hands out to the side, fist, and going side to side. Why? Because that's exactly what Pastor Mark looks like when the anointing hits them. And then we even got all the way down in Louisiana, Pastor Mark Hankins and all his people. Ha, 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 ha. Why? Because that's what he does. My desire is not that you imitate me, get a southern twang. You'd probably sound better, but that is not my desire for you. My desire is for you to be you. I need your unique gifting in the church. We already have me, and one is amazing and wonderful. We need, thank you. We need you to be you. I need you to be, you know, we were up here. See these trees up here? They looked terrible. I was doing them. And then someone else got in there, and they started making them look much better. There's gifting in decoration. There's gifting in just everything that is a makeup of a church. You're going to be better at things than I am, and I need that gifting. I don't need you to look and sound like me. I need you to look and sound like Jesus on the inside of you. Whether you're a Martha, Mary, in between, whatever you are, be you.
That's right.
But keep focus on what matters the most.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many times in my life where I'm so focused on small things. And I look at them and be like, I spent all this time on something so small. What does this matter in the long run of things? And I've been guilty about even wanting to do certain things that will make a difference that are fun for me to do. Give you a great example of this. I don't know what else we needed to have done, but there needed a tree to come down in our yard.
Okay.
So I'm excited about taking the tree down. Mm-hmm. So I put on the pants, you know, in case the chainsaw hits and stops the chainsaw. Get the chains. I'm ready to go. And we're cleaning. That's what we're doing. And Jesse comes to the group. What are you doing? About to take the tree down. Didn't you tell me you want that tree down? Well, yes, but we're cleaning. Why are you focused on that? The tree needs to come down. Yes, but the house needs to be clean. But the tree needs to come down. Put that crap up and get in this house. Okay. Mm. There are things that are so minute, so tiny, so small, but we're missing the big picture of things that need to be done. So, again, this Christmas season, do not allow what matters the least matter the most. Don't allow what matters the least hold hostage what matters the most. Because we do not negotiate with terrorists.
Amen.
And it's key for us to hear God for ourselves. It is key for us to change our lives. It is key for us to live for Christ right where we are. And if you're going to change somebody, change you. Let's change ourselves. We must draw a line in the sand and not cross it. One of the tricks of the enemy is if he can't destroy us with bad things, to get us distracted with good things. I remember in ministry there came a point where I was serving as an associate pastor. And I'm doing all the work, every service. I'd go to every department. I had a clipboard, made sure they had what they wanted and needed. And if they didn't have it, I would go get it, make sure that they had everything in. Ushers, oh, yep, you got a dead walkie-talkie. I'll get you another walkie-talkie. I'll go put this one on the charger. Children's church, oh, okay, you're missing crackers. I'll bring you crackers. What is this peanut doing in here? This is a peanut-free, just going through everything, cleaning everything, making sure. Most of the time, the departments did everything they needed to, but my job was to make sure they did what they needed to, make sure everything. And so I'm so caught up with doing the work of the ministry. And I remember there came a conference and I was asked to speak and I'm doing the work. And all of a sudden comes time for me, the time for me to speak is getting closer and closer and closer. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what do I have to give? And I look, oh my gosh, when's the last time I really spent time in prayer? When's the last time I really spent time in the Word? And I'm trying to think. And if you have to think, it's been too long. It's been too long. And I'm allowing the work that is good to distract me from the place I need to be, from the person God called me to be. And I'm letting crackers. You bunch of crackers. No, I'm just distract me from my place and my time with God. Something so minute. And what happens if a little kid doesn't get a fish cracker one Sunday? Jesse says a lot. Okay, bad example. But if I allow a fish cracker to distract me from spending time with God, how foolish. How foolish on my behalf. You know, verse 41 in the scriptures we were reading, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She was troubled about a lot of things, but there was one thing that was needed. And honestly, I'm sure we can all look at our lives, and we can look at budgets, we can look at our house, the condition it's in, all the changes we need to make just for us, the workplace problems. We can look at a lot of things, and if we focus on it, we can be troubled about many things. Now, it's not an excuse to sit down and do nothing. But if we're troubled, if we're allowing it to hold hostage the rest of what we're doing, it doesn't even matter. Because if it does, then what are we doing to change it? And if we're not, then why are we even focused on it? Jesus said he cares about the birds of the air. And if he does, then how much more does he care about us? And if we're so stressed out, and the crazy thing is, most of the time we're stressed out about stuff we can't even change. If we're going to get fired, or the company is letting go 10% of the staff, and we were just hired a week ago.
Yeah, I think you're going to get the chopping block.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, What can we do to change it? So why are we worried about it? It doesn't mean we sit down and eat Cheetos and wait for something to happen. There might be work we need to do, but being troubled and held hostage over it is ridiculous. Why allow things? And let's even say this, there may be mistakes in the past that are still holding us hostage. Oh, I hate this because every time I think of this, it's Disney. Let it go. They have ruined that statement for me. They have absolutely ruined. Can't even say it anymore without thinking of Princess Elsa. Let it go. You're just going to have to let some things go. You're going to have to release that. And I know this is cheesy, but, you know, let go and let God. We got to give it to Him and say, Father, if there's something we need to do, let us know. And if there's not, then we let it go. And we let you deal with it. You've got to give it to God. You've got to cast your cares. Now, see, that word cast means to throw violently. And if you've ever thrown a cast net, because that's where it comes from. That's where the word comes from, to cast a cast net. And if you've ever watched people, you don't just drop it. You got to take one, and I mean, you got to throw it with everything you got, and it opens up. You got to throw it with force. And there's some problems you're going to have to throw with force. And that problem's going to try to climb right back in the boat. You just push it right back on out. Like, I'm not going to give you time. Now, I don't want to see anyone grabbing their children and just throwing it. Like, get out of here, Pastor said, you can't come back in. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But there may be some problems. There may be some things that in your past that you're going to have to give to God. You're going to have to cast your care upon Him. You're going to have to do it with force. And then that means when the thought process comes back up, shut it down. Shut down the process. Don't sit there and replay the problem over and over and over again. Yes. Shut it down. How do you shut it down? Quote the word. Yes. Just, I cast all my cares upon her. If that's the only one you got, then use that. Yes. I cast all my cares upon Jesus. So I'm not going to worry about this today. I'm not even going to give it thought today. Quote the word every time it pops up. I cast my cares upon the Lord. I don't care if it's 50 times in 1 minute. I cast my cares upon the Lord. I cast my cares upon the Lord. I'm not going to focus on this because I cast my cares upon the Lord. We don't allow it to control us. And when we allow what matters the least to matter most, that small part controls us. Like I told the story in the beginning, that one person that chewed me out controlled the rest of my day until I realized it. And honestly, if I didn't have a friend in my life that was willing to speak the truth to me instead of pacify me, he says, if that's the only thing that happened to you, if this is the worst thing that happened to you all day, sounds like a pretty good day. And that very moment, I mean, like, what the crud am I doing complaining? All right, I got to get rid of this. And I changed immediately. So when we see this, we got to cast it and change. Not allow something so minute, something so small, to mess us up so bad that it holds hostage the rest of our day. So we must prioritize. We must stay focused on the presence of God in our homes and our life. We should be praying. In your house, your kids should know that you praise God. If you got kids in the house, they should know. You should be praising the Lord outwardly. Now, I recognize at work, you may keep that on the inside, praying in tongues, singing a new song. You may be doing that on the inside, but when you get home, you need to purpose in your own life to do it where they can hear it. Yes. They need to see what it looks like to cast your cares upon the Lord. They need to see what it looks like when you pray in tongues. They need to feel comfortable that when they're playing Monopoly against you, that they pray in tongues before they throw that dice. Come on. You're right. They need to lean not into their own understanding, yes, but they need to acknowledge God in all their ways, yes, so that He will direct their path. How are they going to do it unless they see it done in front of them? Let's not let them figure that out by the time they're 25. Let's let them figure that out by the time they're 10, by the time they're 7. Let them learn how to cast, and they know because their family made it a priority to show them how. In the car, when Christian music's on, pray in tongues, raise your hand. I tell my kids the moon roof, when it rolls back, I said, that was made for charismatic and Pentecostal people. They're like, why? I'm like, watch this. Hallelujah! Stick your hand right through the roof. They're like, that was made for Pentecostals. And then one day they'll ask you, can Baptists have it too? Of course they can. Southern Baptists will get some use out of it. They still raise their hands. Maybe not as high, but they do. When we draw this line in the sand, we're going to have some forgiveness in our life. We're going to have to release some things and make the presence of God a priority. Even in the chaos, the negativity, and dysfunctional relationships. And maybe we made mistakes in the past and Visa and Master are calling us. We still have to make a focus upon Jesus and His presence mattering the most. And how about this? Not allowing the same mistakes of the past, the same things that mattered the least, take control of us in the future.
That's right.
We can't change what happened in the past. So let's draw a line. We're not going to live like this anymore, and I'm not going to let it control me.
Right.
I still got stuff to do. I still got priorities. I still have things and responsibilities because of that, but it won't control me here. No more. I'm done with that. It will not control me. I'm not saying I don't have to deal with it. I'm just saying it won't control my future. So let's draw a line this season and make today the day that we are no longer held hostage. Now this Christmas, I love lights. There's actually one home that we drive to every year because it's spectacular. Do you know how many Christmas lights I have in my yard? Zilch. None. One, my neighbors are awesome. They got great lights. And two, we just don't have trees big enough.
Yeah.
And two, it's just like, one time I think I put lights on one tree and I'm like, oh, that looks terrible. Because it was the only tree we had. I'm like, that looks horrible. We'll leave that until spring and I'll take them off, but I will not plug them back in. I didn't know that about up here. It's so cold, you have to wait till spring. In the South, they just do it all the time just because they like them. Don't be that person. But anyway, this Christmas, let's stay focused on the presence of the Lord. Let's not feel pressure from the world to do anything that does not advocate or push the presence of God. Now, I'm not telling you not to have lights. Have lights. Do whatever you want. I like lights. Keep it about Jesus. Keep it about the purpose of God in our lives. And if you like lights, light it up. But don't allow what everybody else thinks is right for this season to dictate your budget, to dictate what you do, or to hold you hostage when you go to a family event because you know someone's going to say something. Don't allow that to control you. Don't even let it matter. I know this is going to be crazy. Are you ready for this? Somebody's going to say something, and you don't have to respond. Just let that sink in for a little while. You don't even have to respond. Because you know your response is going to do exactly what it did last year. Exactly. And you don't even have to respond. We're not going to strive to have the perfect gifts. We're not going to be controlled by the chaos. And as for me and my house, the church, your house, let's strive for the presence of God. Let's strive for Jesus manifesting in every area of our lives.